Welcome to the Wise Money Show with Garwin and Leanne Lenander of Lenander Financial. Get your questions ready and send them to wisemoney@klbbradio.com. Questions about finances, long-term care, insurance, and everything that goes along with preparing for the next phase of your life. Gar and Leanne Lenander have the answer. Email your questions to wisemoney@klbbradio.com or visit them online at wisemoney-klbb.com. That's wisemoney-klbb.com. And now it's Wise Money on KLBB with Gar and Leanne Lenander of Lenander Financial Services.
Welcome to Wise Money. This is Gar and Leanne Lenander inviting you to join us now as we discuss some important topics important to you because it can have some real different effects on your financial situation. Garwin, we're going to talk about titling today. In other words, how do we title our assets? So when we think about that, the first one we all think about is the joint account.
Yes. Typically, husband and wives own everything together.
They're co-owners,
so everything is in their name. And if one of them dies, the other person automatically gets the asset.
And there's no probate in a case like that.
No probate. The asset goes directly to the person, and it's not a big deal.
So, in other words, it's just an automatic thing. It goes to the other individual, and it's that person's asset.
Now, some things typically you do not put joint ownership on. Individual policies such as life insurance.
And that's always a question people always ask, who should be the owner of the life insurance policy? But before we go on to that.
Well, but there's other things besides that, too.
True.
There's some retirement plans that shouldn't be joint owners.
Correct.
So let's talk about those first, and we'll come back to life insurance later.
Well, first, before we even go there, there's something that we want to bring up here. Now, we talked about joint assets, joint with the rights of survivorship. What about the situation with creditors? Sometimes that can be a mess.
Yes, if it's a joint situation and your spouse, husband or wife, is a spendthrift and they get in financial trouble, it could come back to you.
That's right. And so you have to be sure you know your financial picture. And definitely you should if you're on a joint account. The other thing is, if you are a co-owner and something happens, you might not get the basis step up after an inheritance, for instance.
So that's something you have to be very careful. And if you have an asset or are going to get an asset, you might want to ask some questions. Don't ask the neighbor. Ask somebody who understands this, an attorney who's involved in estate planning or a financial planner, somebody who really understands what the ramifications, because there's always ramifications. There's always, always ramifications on doing things.
And especially if it's two families combined.
Oh, absolutely.
Then you need to talk to an attorney. You might want to separate your assets and have some joint assets too. But if you have children and it's two families coming together, an attorney might be the one or the CPA to have involved in this kind of a situation.
What are your desires and how do you best follow up on them and do what you want to do?
Now, you had mentioned something about insurance policies, and I'm going to mention the IRA. So often I do get a question, well, can't I go into the IRA with my spouse? No. Each individual retirement account is just that. It's an individual retirement account. That IRA can just be in your name. And when it comes to an insurance policy.
Well, again, there are some joint policies out there that are available, joint husband and wife or business partners even can buy policies for a first to die or a second to die.
And what does that mean?
It means that they will pay off the death benefit when the first one dies or when the second one dies. Most of the very, very, very large life contracts that are written are second to dies on husbands and wives, and they're done for estate tax purposes so that the money is available to pay the estate tax. So, yes, those are different, but most policies are individual. I would say 99% of them are individual contracts, but there are joint policies available.
Now comes along the term tenancy in common. And that, Garwin, goes back to two individuals having the same interest in this asset. But tenancy in common means?
Well, if one of them dies, no, I'm saying this wrong. That is designed to pay when one dies to the other person. There, they become the owner when the first dies.
Well, they're co-owners here with tenancy in common.
Right.
And so you have two individuals owning the same asset, but they're co-owners. So they can set it up so if something happens to one, the other one gets it. Or if they don't get along, they can walk away with their portion of that asset.
With their portion, yeah.
So it depends upon, there again, your particular situation. But so there's two different things here. There's a joint wider the joint right of survivorship and the tenancy in common where they have a separation.
Oh, Leanne, what about durable powers of attorney?
This is something that a lot of people need to look at very carefully, especially if you're looking at getting into an elderly situation. The durable power of attorney should be for the young people too, but especially as you get older, because basically what it says is you have the right to go ahead and step in and take over and manage the investment or the assets in case something happens to the other one who can't go ahead and deal with it due to an illness, etc. With that power of attorney, you can go to the bank and you can say, okay, my mother's ill. She can't manage her assets anymore. I have the right to come in here and I have the right to go ahead and manage it for her. So it gives you the right, signed by the individual who has that asset, giving you the right to go in and manage it for them.
Or sell it.
Or sell it, or write out the checks, whichever.
Right. Now, what's the big danger of durable power of attorney?
You have to be sure that you pick the right person and that they don't go ahead and get into your account and start spending it without your knowledge.
And that does happen, unfortunately, more frequently than we'd like to.
And we see that more with the elderly, yeah, where someone goes in and tries to take over and do something.
Even one of
there.
Your beloved children who goes in and raids the account, and you gave them the right, and there's a doggone thing you can do about it because you gave them that right.
We see so many individuals who are sitting in the situation where I know I'm by myself, and so I need someone to come in and help me, and they want to do the durable power of attorney, or they want to put someone on their checking account, et cetera. You've got to be very, very careful. You've got to think about who you're going to choose. You've got to trust them. And not only that, you've got to watch your assets anyway.
Right. So that's a big danger. You've got to be careful. You have to have the right person involved.
Let's move on, because there's another type of a situation that we've talked about before, and that is a beneficiary situation. In a case of this, we are looking at who's going to inherit whatever asset there is. So, Garwin, when you look at beneficiaries on a life insurance policy, for example, and even on a securities situation like an IRA, if you're going to have beneficiaries on there, there's a couple ways that you can do it. Number one, you do it by percentages. But now that's not always necessary with the insurance contracts.
Some companies don't like percentages. They want to have a specific number. Other companies will not take a specific number. They want a percentage. And every once in a while, I'll get bit on that, and I get the wrong way of doing the beneficiaries. So then I got to go back and have new form signed.
Well, in the insurance policy, they have a set value.
Typically, if it's a set value, then it's pretty easy to do a percent. You've got four kids, and you got a $200,000 policy. Each kid gets $50,000. That's pretty simple. But sometimes when you get like into an annuity where the annuity value may change, then you got to go to a percent. And if you've got $100,000 and you got three kids, somebody's going to have to get 34%. And then you get which one do I get the extra percent to?
Or 33 and a third.
No, they won't do a third. They've got to go 34. 33, 33, 34.
Okay.
So, yeah. it becomes a little cumbersome sometimes because I typically do it wrong. And I got to go back and do
it
over.
You got to go back and do it over again. Yeah. Well, and in the securities industry, they like to do it by percent.
Right.
Basically, they will say percent because in the securities industry, you are dealing with securities that can appreciate in value, and therefore you can't say the dollar value. So they will say 33 and a third, et cetera. So they're looking at the percent. There's something else that when you get into being a beneficiary, if you have children and you want the beneficiary and they have spouses – and they have children, there you're looking at probably setting something up where it's per stirpes. So if you have three children and you say you want to give 33 and a third to each one of them, then you might add per stirpes, saying if something happens to this son or this daughter, this third one, I want it to go to his or her children.
Not to the spouse.
Not to the spouse. Directly to the
children. Never did like the spouse, so we're not going to give her any money.
But at any rate, the term is per stirpes because that means it's going to be divided then between the other two and the third one who is gone.
If your beneficiary is dead.
Correct.
Right.
And then go ahead and be passed on to the children.
The children.
So this is something that when you set up your retirement accounts or you set up your assets and you're looking at how to pass it out in case something were to happen to you or there's an emergency, these are things you have to consider very, very carefully because it can have a real big problem for the rest of the family if you haven't done it correctly.
And unfortunately, it can create some problems. If everybody doesn't know about it, it might even create problems if they know about it, but it can create problems.
And
so you got to be careful.
Also, you have to look at how it affects probate.
Right.
Now, let's move on. There's other things out there that we look at how it is set up, and one of them is a trust.
A trust is simply a vehicle that takes all your assets and disperses them to where you want them to go. It is simply a special beneficiary, and that's really what it is, but it's typically done through a bank trust or an insurance company trust, and they then manage and disperse your assets.
So you have the executor.
They have an executor.
And be careful who you choose to be an executor. That can be an individual or individuals, and it could be
the bank.
Could be the bank, but be careful who you pick out.
And they do charge a fee.
That's right.
That's something that people say, well, I don't want to pay a fee. Well, that the trust has a fee. Somebody has to be paid to manage that money.
And keep your eye on that trust as to what's happening to it. That trustee needs to be careful and watch it closely because all at once, if it's been sitting there for a long time and there might be certain aspects in that language of the trust, that person has to be aware of what's going on so they handle it appropriately.
And you may want to go back and change your trustee before you die because you didn't like what's been going on or something that's happening you didn't like. So it is a complicated situation, something you need to do before there's a crisis. We're getting close to the end, Leanne.
Let's give our phone numbers, and the phone numbers are 651-365-5000.
And 651-436-3997. I almost forgot.
If you have any questions, give us a call because we're happy to get any questions because then we can go ahead and use them on the show and we would like to go ahead and work with you with them.
Experience counts now more than ever when it's time to trust your finances to someone else. Experience counts. And Lenander Financial Services are financial professionals who specialize in assisting people just like you with personal finance, investments, retirements, insurance, and long-term care planning. Call Garwin and Leanne Lenander at 651-436-3997. That's 651-436-3997. Lenander Financial Advisory. Experience counts.
Thank you for joining us this morning for Wise Money with Garwin and Leanne Lenander of Lenander Financial. Join Gar and Leanne each Saturday morning at 11:45 for more of the Wise Money Show. Email your questions to Gar and Leanne, and the address is wisemoney@klbbradio.com. That's wisemoney@klbbradio.com. Or visit them online at wisemoney-klbb.com. That's wisemoney-klbb.com. Join us again next Saturday for the Wise Money Show with Gar and Leanne Lenander of Lenander Financial on Club 1220 KLBB.